Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and illusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Donald McElveny. And, of course, you probably think we're going to be talking about gold and silver, but we're not, because this is a different Donald McElveny, and he's a gentleman that we've been acquainted with his background for some time. He's into missionary work and helping missions throughout the world. Our good friend John Lefter recommended him to us, but recently there was a massive hurricane cyclone that hit Miramar. Of course, that's the new name for Burma, and a great deal of talk about what was going on there, and everybody wants to send money over there and supplies. But, ladies and gentlemen, those supplies will go to the communist government. There is a communist government there, a ruthless communist government that's killed literally hundreds of thousands of Christians, the so-called Koran people. That have been Christians there for better part of 200 years. And you're not going to hear about them. You're not going to hear about the Christian persecution in Burma. And you're not going to really learn too much about what's really going on. I could make a suggestion. There was a wonderful movie. It came out. It's called Rambo. And the latest Rambo film, if you have not yet seen it, you need to. It's got a wonderful Christian message in it. It's got a very realistic picture of characterization of what's really going on in Burma today. And of course, Donald is in touch with the people there. There are Christian missionaries there trying to bring the word of God to the Kuren people who are Christians and trying to spread the word of God throughout this brutal communist dictatorship, kept in power, I'm sure, in large part by our good friends in communist China, who are the good friends of the people who run our country in Washington, D.C. Because America is doing everything we can to maintain and to build up the economic situation in China, to build up the prestige of the Chinese communists. What we should do, of course, announce we're not going to send any of our athletes there. We do not respect them. They're going to have to change their attitude on human rights, but they're not going to. Unfortunately, they're going to continue oppressing communists Christians throughout the world. Donald, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a blessing and a privilege to be back with you again.
Well, no, this is an entirely different audience, so don't be afraid to repeat some of the things we said before, but why don't you tell us about your work and how you are in touch with the missionaries there in Burma. And I'm not going to call it Miramar. Let's call it Burma what it is. Go ahead.
It's Burma. Well, my wife and I work under the cover of a ministry called Mission Barnabas. And the main purpose of Mission Barnabas is to minister to missionaries serving on the field overseas, because they're for a lot of churches, and it's sad to say they're out of sight and out of mind, but they're living in a different culture. They're dealing with a lot of different struggles and issues, and it's important for the church, for us as the believers, to come alongside them and provide fellowship and encouragement and to help them talk through issues and things. And very often when we get overseas, we'll find that missionaries are wrestling through which direction to take, the next step to take, and all they need is someone to talk to. They've heard from the Lord. They know what the Word says. They just need someone to encourage them to just step out in faith and go.
All right, fine. Well, I think that's so vitally important. Anyway, our guest this afternoon, Donald McElvaney, we're going to tell you a lot more about what he's doing, about what's going on over there. Certainly, this is one of the places in the world where the Christians are the most brutally treated. Have you heard about that, certainly, and the mass media? And of course, you're not going to. I mean, when they killed 800,000 Christians in Rwanda, they never mentioned they were Christians. Did you ever notice that?
I wonder why.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with Donald as we begin developing the background of what's really going on in Burma, the tragedy that's unfolding there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Donald McElvaney, and this is a different Donald McElvaney than the one who's been with us before, because this Donald McElvaney is actually involved in mission. Now, the other one is as well, but certainly Donald is more or less in this full-time, working with missionaries throughout the world and, of course, trying to coordinate help for them. And, of course, what is going on in Burma today? Certainly we hear about the massive cyclone that hit the country and the tragedy. We don't know how many people were killed, but hundreds of thousands were killed in the cyclone, and then there's going to be facing massive starvation. But what is never mentioned by the controlled media here in the United States is the plight of the Karen people. Now, would you like to talk a little bit about them, who they are, what their heritage is, and what, of course, has been happening there under the ruthless communist regime, which is being kept in power by the communists in China, which are being kept in power by the elitists in Washington, D.C.? Let's be kind. Go right ahead.
Yes, when you look at it from a geopolitical perspective, the reason some of these governments are in power is because the ultimate goal is global depopulation.
Right.
And if you have despots in power, then they're going to be drawing the resources to themselves, and people will be left to be plundered by disease and famine and starvation and the results of poor water and a drink. Now, the Karen people are one of the largest tribal groups in Burma today, and a large percentage of them, a large number of them, are believers. And one of the reasons that they are having so much trouble from the government is because the Buddhist government is trying to get that Christian presence out of the country and get it out to keep it from, converting Buddhists to true faith in Jesus Christ. And so there's this pressure from the government to either convert them to Buddhism or to destroy them. And a friend of mine was in Burma a few years ago interviewing Karen survivors who had been persecuted severely by the government. And I can't even describe on the radio, I cannot tell you in detail what these soldiers did to their daughters while they had guns to the parents' heads. And they were doing it just to intimidate and to destroy the will of the people and to break them. And it's just absolutely tragic. It's absolutely tragic. Now, you mentioned that film Rambo. My wife and I had not seen it, but when I talked to you a few weeks ago, we did rent that film. It is a very graphic illustration of what is going on today with this Buddhist military government trying to exterminate these different tribal peoples.
I hope that thought will be right back here.
And we see the same thing happening in Laos and in parts of Vietnam.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Donald McElvaney, and he's simply pointing out, of course, that the Buddhist government over there in Burma is really trying to exterminate the Christian element there, to intimidate them, but ultimately they would destroy them because, of course, they have a different faith and they feel that the Christian faith is a threat to their faith. So you pick up the story there.
Yes. When you are in the world and you have a Buddhist view, a Buddhist worldview, then it's good karma versus bad karma. Good karma, I've got the power. Bad karma, you're not me. And so the devil, Lucifer, who has his stronghold on the hearts and the minds and the souls of these people that are in power, his desire is to kill, to maim, and to destroy. And so he deceives and deludes these people into believing that they are doing something good when in fact they're doing something evil. And it's just really tragic to hear the testimonies and the stories that are coming out, that have been coming out for decades, you know, of how this government over the last 30 years has been trying to deal with these tribal people, especially the tribal people that have a strong commitment to Jesus Christ, which the Karen people do.
All right. And, of course, Attorney Donald was talking about the new film, Rambo. Now, of course, it's a very violent film. So
it's very violent. But what's going on is violent.
Right. And it's one of those films that will really have an impact on you, and I believe it's very true to life. Admittedly, it's a fictional story. And Sylvester Stallone plays Sylvester Stallone, but he does a magnificent job of it. I would recommend the film to you. I don't recommend that many films, especially one that's this violent, but it is a very important film, so you'll begin to grasp the horror that's taking place there, even before the recent cyclone, which has devastated so much of the country.
Now, Dr. Stan, this film is no more violent than when we read about when the Babylonians besieged the city of Jerusalem. When the Assyrians came and plundered Israel, when they were killing people, they were slaughtering people, they were maiming them, they would gouge out the men's right eye, cut off their right arm so they couldn't fight and hold arms again and wield a sword. So if we read through the Bible, we find an awful lot of very graphic violence because that's what sinners do. And what we're dealing with in Burma, what we're dealing with in the way that this government is persecuting these tribal people, this is what sinners do, and sinners need to hear the gospel so that they can have the opportunity to be converted.
Well, tell
these
us a
soldiers
little...
are not beyond redemption if someone can get to them with the gospel.
Well, tell us what the missionaries are doing. Do we have many Christian missionaries there? How are they treated? Do they have the opportunity to spread the gospel?
Well, there is an underground church. There is a strong underground church in Burma, and we have some friends of ours that are based in Thailand that work in Burma. And they oversee several networks of Christians so that they can smuggle in Bible literature and Bible training materials so that they can equip the saints. You know, it's like Paul wrote to Titus or Timothy, the purpose of the church is to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. They are providing the materials that are necessary so that the church in Burma can be built up to continue to do what the Lord has called us to do. Now, when we look at the persecution of the church during the Roman period under some of those despotic Romans, you know, under Nero and the others, and Caligula, when we see the persecution that came upon the church then and under Claudius, we can see that the church did not get exterminated, but the church thrived. And it thrived because they were empowered by the Holy Spirit and they had the Word of God. And so if we can do what we can to continue to keep the Word flowing into Burma to build up the church there, then the Holy Spirit will empower the church to continue to be a faithful witness for the Lord. Now, in the light of this cyclone that went through, our friends in Thailand, and along with other missionaries that are based in Thailand that work in Burma, they are smuggling in medical supplies, they're smuggling in resources. One of the biggest things they're taking in is they're muling in money, because there are resources and food and things available in-country, but it takes dollars, Thai baht, and it takes money to be able to purchase those things. And rice tripled overnight. Bottled water went up tenfold overnight. Fuel, you know, we're paying $4 a gallon here in Texas for gasoline right now. It's as if the fuel tomorrow I woke up and it was suddenly $10 a gallon. That's the impact that cyclone had. And it takes money to be able to provide what's necessary for those people to survive, first of all, and then to be able to equip the saints to continue to do that work of mercy ministry and being able to share the gospel message.
Well, I'm sure that the missionaries who are working there actually are risking their lives because
if
they were to be apprehended by the military forces there, they'd certainly be imprisoned and probably tortured or killed.
They will be imprisoned. They will be tortured. Many of them could be killed.
And this is really going on today. And, of course, this is the thing we're not talking about. And our churches aren't talking about it because we don't like to talk about things like that. We like to talk about nice things. Well, we don't live in a nice world. We live in an evil world where the Prince of Darkness is really in charge of so much of what's going on. And he certainly has a powerful influence on the controlled media in the United States today. Anyway, of course, I really am surprised that this film, Rambo, actually got the coverage it did, and I certainly commend it to you.
Yeah. And of course, one of the reasons the film got popular is because word of mouth.
Right.
You know, I didn't really think about seeing it until you told me, and I've been telling friends of mine about that film. You've got to see it, and you've got to get over the fact that when you shoot a gun, somebody dies. Or when you throw out a Claymore mine, somebody's going to get blown up. You have to get past that and realize the bigger picture. The devil in Burma is working overtime to kill people to keep them from hearing the gospel.
Well, I think one of the big problems we have is how do we know we can trust people with money? In fact, everybody's collecting money for the refugees over there. We haven't said any because we didn't know it was going to get to them. Well, certainly Donald's been around for a long time, and he's with a responsible organization. That is, they're not to collect money, but is to help people. They have to collect money to be able to help the people, but they're not primarily involved in aggrandizing themselves. They're people who are dedicated to missionary work and supporting missionaries throughout the world. So if people did want to reach you and to perhaps help the missionaries who are over there working now and help the victims of this terrible catastrophe, this cyclone, how could they get in touch with you?
Well, our website is missionbarnabas.org. That's missionbarnabas.org. Or they could call me on my cell phone at 772-359-2051.
Don, you always give your telephone number twice on radio. People never get it the first time.
Okay.
One more time.
My cell phone number is 772-359-2051. That's 772-359-2051. Or if they would like to send a check, you can send a check to Mission Barnabas on the memo line right in Burma. And we will wire those funds into Thailand where the missionaries will draw the money out. And then when they go in, they'll take the money in with them.
Right.
And that is P.O. Box 107, P.O. Box 107, Seguin, Texas, S-E-G-U-I-N, S-E-G-U-I-N, Texas, 78156.
All right, we will try to get that out a little later in the program.
And what we'll do is pull the money and wire it in. And the missionaries that are our contact people in Thailand, they've been working in Burma and Laos for 25 years. And their hearts are with the tribal people. They know that Jesus created these people in his image and that God's desire is when his house is full, it's also filled with Karen, with Burmese, with Thai, with Vietnamese, with Gaho people, that these tribal people need to have the privilege and the opportunity that we have here in America that we take for granted. You know, I can drive down the freeway. I'm getting ready to do a 7,000-mile road trip. When I'm going down the highway, I will see billboards, and I will see farmers and ranchers that have signs out in their fields. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Whoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. And so I can drive down an American freeway and see the Word of God being proclaimed, and yet I go into these countries and on pain of death, you would stand on a street corner and preach the gospel.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the background of the Karen people? Because there's a fellow, there's a missionary, Jedediah Judson?
It was Adoniram Judson.
Adoniram, okay.
Adoniram Judson, yes. It's interesting when you look at how missions spread out over Asia. The first missionaries into South Korea, what is South Korea today, were Presbyterians. Judson was a Baptist. You know, you find different ministry groups, missionary groups that sent people out. But Judson in the 18th century was a pioneering mission into Burma. And if I remember his testimony correctly, he really didn't want to go, but he had this call that he couldn't shake. It was kind of like George Mueller. You know, George Mueller wanted to go to, he became the great orphanage builder in Bristol, England. He wanted to go to the Middle East and work with the Jews, and the Lord slammed the door shut. He was a German, and the Lord said, no, I'm sending you to England. He said, I hate the English. But he went to England, and he did this incredible work for the Lord. And it was the same with Judson. You know, the Lord opened up a door, and Judson went in and was willing to lay down his life. He was willing to deal with the diseases, to deal with the sicknesses, to be able to have the privilege of being on the field where no one had ever been to preach the gospel. It's like the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans, and he says, I can't wait to get to Rome and gas up with you guys because I'm on my way to Spain. I want to go where no one has ever preached before. And that was what was the burden for in Judson's heart. And today there is a thriving, struggling church, persecuted church today in Burma, because this man had a vision to go where no one had ever been.
And that was 200 years ago, Ananias Judson. There's a book called To a Golden Shore. To a Golden Shore. It's a story of Ananias Judson, and it's well worthwhile reading to understand the dedication. He gave up everything. His wife died, but
yep.
He was there preaching the word of the Lord and had a profound impact that 200 years later is still sustaining these people under terrible,
That's
terrible
the power persecution. Of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, Donald, you were right ahead here.
Well, you know, it's exciting. You know, it's terrible what's happening to these people in Asia, the tribal groups. I know that I was in Vietnam a few years ago, and I got to get up above Cam Ranh Bay into an area where we weren't supposed to be. And we were a few miles back off the road. I was with a small team. The van pulled up. You know, we had curtains on the van. The van pulled up. We opened the door. A few of us got out and took off. And the van went on down the road and then was hidden off on a side road in a village. And we went several miles off the road, and we went up into this tribal area. We were among the Kaho tribal people. It's one of the 69 or 68 different tribal people in Vietnam. The government of Vietnam is trying to Vietnamize these tribal people by destroying their culture and undermining their marriage covenant relationships and things, and their customs and traditions. And they're trying to do away with all of that and cause them to conform to the majority population. And we were visiting this little church, and I was speaking in English. It was being translated into Vietnamese and then being translated into Kaho. And the word of the Lord to that congregation that day was from Matthew's Gospel. Behold, the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. And the Lord was encouraging those believers in that Kaho tribal village that they were surrounded by Buddhists, by communists, and animists. And the Lord had raised them up to be his witnesses so those people could hear the gospel, so they could see the Christian life and they could become believers. That is the same thing that's happening in Burma today. In spite of the persecution, in spite of the decades-long oppression by this communist or by this Buddhist government, as you say, has been kept in power by the communist Chinese, they're being kept in power as a buffer from China, that in spite of all of the persecution, in spite of all of the mistreatment, and the threat of death, these people are clinging to the hem of Jesus' garment, and by faith they refuse to turn away from the Lord and bow down to that statue of Buddha. That is the power of the gospel, and that is the fruit of 200 years ago when Judson went to Burma and preached the gospel and was willing to lay down his life for the sake of the gospel in the lives of these people.
Well, it's one of those great stories that should be told over and over again. It usually isn't. Few people have ever heard of the Karen people. Few people have actually heard of Adoniram Judson. And, of course, his dedication. But the legacy that he left is having a profound impact on Burma today. And the legacy that he left is really feared by the ruling junta, this military group that are really, of course, just as cruel and inhumane as you could imagine. We talk about the horrors that have occurred in the past. Many of these horrors are taking place today, and that's, of course, why I think that film on Rambo is so important, because I think it very vividly depicts what's really going on in Burma at
now,
this very time.
If someone sees that film, then think about Darfur, where the Muslim army comes into these Christian areas and rapes, pillages, plunders, kills, maims, and destroys. They're serving the same devil. Now, when you think about that, then you can think about any other country in the world where you have this oppression going on, where you have the devil using, whether they're Muslims or Buddhists or communists, like in the Philippines. You know, there's a communist insurgency in the Philippines, but there's also some Muslim
Hold that thought for me there just a moment. Hold on. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Donald McElveny. We're talking about the tragedy that's unfolding at Burma, but the similar tragedies are unfolding to Christians all throughout the world today.
And the same thing, it's in China, too. You know, this in a weekend after next, my wife and I are going to be in Denver at the National Conference of the Hmong District of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And Hmong are tribal people that are found in Laos, Vietnam, China, Thailand, and Burma. And they have been very severely persecuted over the years. And up in China, you know, I believe they're called the White Hmong, the particular group that they are. They're being very severely persecuted by the Chinese and trying to be pressured to conform and to toe the communist line, when in fact these tribal people just want to preserve their culture and they want to preserve their heritage. Now, we know people that go from Thailand up into China that are working among these Hmong people to get the gospel to them so that they can come to true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this week, or weekend after next, my wife and I are going to be in Denver at this conference of Hmong tribal people that live in America to try and help encourage them to remember where they came from and to do what they can to get the gospel back into that region of Southeast Asia where the tribal people, the Hmong people, happen to be. But when we look around the world, you know, I was in Cuba a few years ago with my wife, and we were able to travel, you know, for 8 days with an evangelist that was there. And the joy that was in the hearts of these believers, knowing that they're, because they're holding meetings in their homes and they're holding meetings that are not authorized by the government, their home can be confiscated, they can lose their job, their children can be taken away from them. The same thing in communist China, that if you get caught having a meeting that is not sanctioned by the government, they can confiscate your property, they can arrest you, you can lose your job, they can take your kids away, and you can be put in prison. But they count it all joy. Why? It's because, Dr. Stan, because they're saved. Because they're saved. They were once communists, and when they heard the gospel, they came to faith. They were once Buddhists. They were once animists. They were witch doctors and voodoo leaders. And they hear the gospel, and they come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they know the power of his resurrection, and they know that the communists cannot do anything to them anymore because Christ is in them through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. And they are willing to stand firm in the face of death, not denying Christ, but being willing to die for the privilege of serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm surprised. Is there much of an evangelical movement within Cuba itself today?
Oh, yes, there is.
We never hear about that.
Not long ago, my wife and I were down in Florida for a month or several months ago, and I did some preaching in Florida. And when we were in Miami, we got to spend time with a Cuban pastor there who oversees some things that are going on the island. And we got to have lunch and fellowship with a young pastor, a young Baptist pastor, who had come out on a 30-day visa. If you get a letter of invitation, you can come out. And he was out here in America, and he was visiting some congregations in America, some Spanish-speaking Cuban congregations, encouraging them to continue to support the church that was doing the underground work back in Cuba. And in spite of the government pressure, they are willing to still baptize people, they're still willing to preach the gospel, and they're still willing to meet knowing that their property can be confiscated and their children can be taken away from them, and they can be, you know, in some cases, in some extreme cases anymore, put to death. When I was in Cuba, I had a Cuban pastor look me in the eye and tell me that the best thing that ever happened to Cuba was the embargo, because it's keeping Castro from having the money to really oppress the people.
Well, as so many other places in the world, we are financing the tyrants. Of course, I'm sure Castro is getting money from other countries.
Yes.
They're getting money from the United States, because, of course, we can't let the American people know that we're keeping Fidel Castro in power. But that's, of course, another story. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Donald, he's in touch, of course, with people in the missionary fields throughout the world, and they work here in the United States to coordinate raising aid for these missionaries, people who've given their lives to bring the gospel to people throughout the world and follow through on the Great Commission to bring the Word of God to people throughout the world. So, anyway, the exciting times. Christians certainly are in dire circumstances in communist China today. Why are we supporting a country that, treats communists so badly? Remember after Tiananmen Square when we had the, 10, 20,000 people were slaughtered there in Tiananmen Square and adjacent areas. And how did we punish the Chinese? Why, we gave them most favored nation treaty status. What's wrong with this picture, ladies and gentlemen? Maybe things are not at all as we imagine they are. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest, of course, is Donald McElvaney, and we've got Sam on the line. And so let's see where Sam is from. Hi, Sam. Oh, he's from Cincinnati. Hi, Sam. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. I appreciate your work there.
Do you listen to our program there in the evening on the Christian station in Cincinnati?
More so 11 to, the late night hours.
Right, the late night hours. It's awful late.
Right now. I know that your guest was speaking about the helping with the weather disaster there and so forth, but I have a question a little bit off from that in the Southeast Asia area. What is the effectiveness of missionaries running businesses to help the national people?
There have been some very good works that have been started, on the microeconomic level, where you've been able to make small micro loans to help people get started in businesses. That has been very, very successful. And we have some friends of ours that we know, praise the Lord, that are getting ready to go back into Western China, where they have, there's a business that they're getting set up, an import-export business, and that's going to be their tent covering for being able to do evangelism. One of the problems with being a businessman is that managing the business takes up a lot of your time and resources, and it makes it less time available to actually do evangelism and ministry, which is why I think it's very important that we partner with the local people and have the nationals be the ones that are on the front line actually doing evangelism and ministry, because they can drink the water, they know the culture, they understand the language. It would take an awful lot of overhead, for example, to have a couple like my wife and I to go and be based in most of these countries. However, if we can partner with trustworthy nationals who are able then to help distribute those resources, that is where the real multiplying effect is successful.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into any names or anything, but I'm aware of a situation where I think after several months or maybe even a few years, it's still difficult to buy land and get permits, et cetera, and I'm just wondering if that's God closing doors.
Well, this is where my heart is. If the closer you can get to the pastors and the evangelists that are actually the nationals that are actually on the ground doing the work, the more intimate you can be in fellowship with them, to where you can go and visit them and to see the work.
Hold that thought right there, Donald. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this afternoon, Donald McElvaney, and of course, we have Sam calling from Cincinnati, Ohio, asking whether or not, of course, missionaries should be involved in business. And of course, Sam is saying a missionary is involved in business. He's not going to have the wherewithal, of course, to go ahead, and he's not going to have the time to be preaching the Word of God. A missionary's job is to preach the Word of God. And, of course, what Donald's point is that he and the people he works with try to raise funds and send it to the missionaries. But what they do is they try to actually encourage the people in a specific tribal area, the people who are endemic to that area, to take on and do the work rather than try to bring in somebody who doesn't speak the language from our country or from another country. Far better to utilize the local people, train them, and then have them, of course, spread the word of God. Does that answer your question at all, Sam?
I think so. I mean, you know, I'm just wondering if he knew, particularly in Southeast Asia, whether it's, you know, how much you run into walls as far as, you know, trying to get the legal work so you can actually be legal doing the work there.
Well, let me give you two examples real quick. One, I know that, you know, we have friends of ours who are missionaries that are working in Cambodia. And I know that in Cambodia, you as a foreigner cannot own property. Legal papers and everything else, the hoops that you have to go through in order to be able to set up a corporation in country which you are funding but you have no control over, in order to have a foreign national be the legal title holder of either that property or that business so that you can do business, puts you at incredible risk, you know, for the loss of your investment. However, if our focus is on going in and identifying brothers and sisters who really have a heart for evangelism and missions and a burden to see people come to faith in Christ, if we go in and find out what do you need to be able to do the work the Lord has called you to do, and then we help set up a pipeline or some kind of a way of being able to get the resources to them and to provide oversight to make sure that those funds are being used to actually do the work, I think that is the far, far greater thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, business and this and that and let's go tent making. Well, it's one thing for me to go over there and try and set up a business as a foreigner and I can be, you know, taken to the cleaners. It's another thing for me to be about my father's business, which is the winning of souls to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get saved, if they want to set up a business so they can take care of their family and then be a full-time pastor as a tent maker, then God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
But my father's business is the business of winning people to faith. It's not about expanding some economic enterprise. You know,
yeah, well,
I'm coming from as a missionary and evangelist. I'm more concerned about souls being saved
right. Than
I am about economic issues.
Okay.
And I know that if they come to faith, who is responsible for them now? If a person gets saved in North Vietnam from one of these tribal groups or in Burma from one of these tribal groups, then the Lord has made a covenant promise to them that he would provide for them the food they need, the clothes they need, the shelter that they need.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So the critical thing is to get them to come to faith. And then as faith comes alive in them and their relationship with the Lord begins to bloom, the Lord's the one that's going to watch over them and provide for them. Now, he can help provide for them through us, but they're not dependent on us. They're dependent on him.
Amen to that. And I think that it's too easy to begin to mix missionary work with business. And I don't think you should ever do that, Sam. God bless. Thanks very much for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And, Cindy, Donald, why don't you go ahead and get your address and your telephone number and your website out one more time?
Okay. Our website is missionbarnabas.org.
Missionbarnabas.org, right.
Mission Barnabas. And the purpose of the work is to encourage people to stay focused on missions and evangelism. You know, the world is coming to an end. It's coming very rapidly. But what we have to do is stay focused on winning people to faith. Our phone number is 772-359-2051. That's 772-359-2051. And if someone wants to mail a check, that we will pool with the other funds that we have and we'll wire it to Thailand, which will then be smuggled into Burma. It would be P.O. Box 107, That's P.O. Box 107, Seguin, Texas. That's S-E-G-U-I-N, Texas, 78156. That's zip code 78156.
All right, fine. Of course, I hope my producer has that all written down, so if anybody needs to get that and doesn't have it, why they can get in touch with us. Of course, you can always go to their website. That's Barnabas. Is it just Barnabas.org?
Mission Barnabas.
MissionBarnabas.org. But the difficulty is there are just so many scam operations going on.
Oh, I know it.
And, of course, it's so easy to play on people's emotions. I know here that we had some fires recently, and they were collecting collections for the people who were badly burned in the fire. Well, of course, the truth of the matter is nobody was badly burned in the fire. They were just collecting the money and putting it in their pocket to get out of town. So you have to be careful where you send your money. There's so many scams out there, but certainly Donald comes very, very well recommended and by our good friends, and I think you can feel very comfortable if you're concerned and you're moved to want to help the people over there in Burma. Why, of course, let's help the Christians and make sure the money gets to them instead of, as our government is doing, bring in massive amounts of food that are only going to keep the ruthless military dictatorship in power, the ruthless military dictatorship that is actually persecuting and trying to destroy the Christians there.
Now, you know that the Buddhist government, on those supplies that are being sent in, you know, by benevolent governments around the world, you know, organizations, you know, saying, let's send in a boatload of food or plane loads of food. And there have been stories that have been coming out where the government has a litmus test. If you have to be a Buddhist in order to get these supplies. So the Christians, the animists, some of the different tribal people, they're being excluded from this relief that's coming in from the United Nations and from the U.S. government and other governments. They're being excluded and being filtered out and prevented from receiving this support because they're not Buddhists. And, you know, Jesus said that if you give a cup to the least of these, you know, whosoever, you know, who is my neighbor? Everyone that crosses my path. You know, the Burmese are my neighbors. The Vietnamese are my neighbors. The Cubans are my neighbors. You know, the people in Namibia and in Zimbabwe, those are my neighbors. And Jesus said, whatever you do for the least of these, you've done it for me. Now, what should be my motive for doing it? I need to be doing it because Jesus has opened up the opportunity, but more importantly, it's so that through helping them, they can have the opportunity to hear the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well,
I was at a conference.
Go right ahead.
Pardon?
Go right ahead.
Well, yes, I was at this conference. I met this really interesting guy who works in North Vietnam. I can't tell you his name. But this really interesting guy works in North Vietnam. And he got a burden. He went over there. He got a well drilling rig. And he got permission from the government just to go out and drill water wells in villages. And so this fellow, when he takes his wife and kids out there into the bush, and they go to a village, and they find out that they don't have good water, so they say, we're going to go ahead and drill a well for you. Inevitably, someone will come to him, and he's not hanging out a shingle. You know, if you get saved today, I'll tell you how. But he's an evangelist. And so he's drilling the well, and inevitably somebody will come to him and ask, why did you come to our village? And his answer is always the same. Jesus told me you didn't have clean water to drink, and he sent me here to give you water. Somebody will always ask, why did you come? And his answer is always the same. Jesus sent me. And then they'll ask, who's Jesus?
And of course, what a wonderful, wonderful way to spread the message of salvation.
And all he does is drill holes in the ground and water comes out. Goes village to village, finds out where there's another village that's got bad water, shows up with his little drilling rig, punches a hole, and someone always asks the question, and he's there sowing the seed. Jesus said the sower went out to sow, and the seed is the gospel. And Dr. Stan, it's happening in Burma today. In the aftermath of that cyclone, thousands of believers are going to their neighbors who are going to perish and go to the lake of fire if they don't come to faith. And they are going to them, they are giving them the water that they have, the food that they have, the clothing that they have. They're providing what they can for shelter, all in the name of Christ, because Jesus said so. Now, Jesus doesn't want us just to believe in him. He wants us to obey him. And Jesus told us to go out into the world and do the gospel. Now, am I willing to be obedient even unto death? I've got brothers and sisters today in Burma that if they get caught doing what they're doing, they will get slaughtered. But they're doing it anyway. Why? Because of the joy of Christ Jesus that is embedded in their being. They don't have a clue about the New World Order. They don't understand the global government. They don't have any knowledge at all about the economic issues out there. But this is what they do know. They knew that they were lost, and now they're saved. They know that they were blind, and now they see. And Jesus has set before them an opportunity to give away what they received from him. And that's the privilege and the honor of being out there in the field. You know, when we get to travel overseas, we get to be in these villages. We get to sit at these people's tables. We get to sit at their feet. We get to fellowship with them. And we get to hear these wonderful, encouraging stories about how Jehovah Jireh, the provider, is continuing to provide. When you're hopeless in the aftermath of a cyclone, and there's no water, no, you know, read the back end of Habakkuk. You know, if there's no olives on the tree, there's no sheep in the stall, there's no grass in the field, there's no food in the cupboard, oh, yea, will I rejoice in God my Savior, will I rejoice in the God of my salvation. That's exactly what happened in the hearts of the Christians when that cyclone passed by, and then they took a look around and said, Jesus, what do you want to use me to do now?
Well, I think it's really wonderful what you are doing and what your organization is doing. And it's gratifying to know that there are people all over the world that are going into areas. I know they're going into some of the Muslim areas. Apparently, tremendous missionary work going on in Kurdistan, where Muslims, lifelong Muslims, are risking their lives to become Christians today. But, of course, these are the things that we seldom talk about here in the United States, where we're so centered on Britney Spears and Paris Hilton and the NBA or the coming football season. And people must understand we are being intentionally misled. The media, of course, is controlled. It's focusing our attention on all the wrong issues and certainly is not telling us about Christian persecution throughout the world or Christian victories throughout the world. And I think that's really your message, isn't it, Donald?
Oh, yes, it's victory in Jesus. You know, the worst nightmare for the communist Chinese is that 10% of their population are saved. That is their worst nightmare. Chairman Mao took over that country 60 years ago, and he vowed to exterminate the church. That guy's body has been rotting for decades in a mausoleum, and the church in China has grown a hundredfold. There was less than 1 million believers in China when Chairman Mao took over, and the estimates from the Chinese government are that there's 100 million of them. What a wonderful fruit! Praise the Lord. And Chairman Mao kicked out all the missionaries, you know, leveled the playing field, we're going to just wipe everything out. And when he wiped everything out, the only thing that had true power was the gospel. And it's the gospel alone that has been thriving in China these last 60 years. And we see a church there with a vision. I don't know if you read the book Back to Jerusalem, but it's about a vision that these Chinese believers had back in the 1930s and 40s, that the gospel had spread from Jerusalem, you know, through Europe, Latin America, Africa, and over to the Americas, and into Asia, and now it was the Chinese privilege, the church in China's privilege of getting the gospel back to Jerusalem. And the only thing that stands in the way from China to the Middle East is the Muslim world, and the Chinese are willing to send their sons and their daughters into the Muslim world carrying the gospel all the way back to Jerusalem. They got a vision. And they've got a commitment to send 100,000 Chinese. They're not asking for American money. They're not asking for European money. They're not asking for any help from the outside. All they hope is that the church around the world will pray for them so that they can be fired up in the spirit and take the word of God and march through the Muslim world and get the gospel back to Jerusalem. That's their vision. It's wonderful. And when you hear about these things, you have to get excited. Dr. Stan, it grieves me. It grieves me that hundreds of thousands of people die every day without the gospel. It grieves me. That is something that troubles me day after day after day. But I rejoice at the harvest that's coming in. It's not coming in America. People in America are shifting chairs. They'll move from one building to another because, well, the music's a little better down there, or they got a newer building over here, or this or that. But what's happening in these countries around the world, the gospel is spreading because people are getting saved. Buddhists are getting saved. Communists are getting saved. Tribal people are getting saved. Voodoo witch doctors are getting saved. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And there's a drought in America, in the American church. People don't really want to hear about missions because they really don't have a burden for evangelism. You know, most people will go to church. You know, this is what we do, and, you know, this is where I get fed, and this is where, you know, I need to get refueled so I can survive the next week. The purpose of the church on Sunday is not so that you can get refueled to survive. It's so that you can get fired up and encouraged to go and attack the enemy stronghold one more time. We're supposed to be on the attack. The church isn't supposed to be in retreat. We're not supposed to withdraw from the world. We're supposed to attack the kingdom of darkness. The Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, but the church has to attack the gates of hell.
Amen to that, and certainly I think that is what the missionaries are doing, but that's what we should be doing here. We're involved in the spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, and most people don't even know the battle's going on. They don't understand that there really are dark and sinister spirits and forces that are attacking America at the very heart of America. If you watch the news, television, every one of those stations, they'll tell you how wonderful it is now that we can have homosexual marriage. You'd think there'd be somebody out there that'd say, maybe this is not according to God's plan. Have you noticed nobody does? All the television tell you how wonderful it is, and then you see them locked in their arms and embrace two fellas kissing one another, two girls, and basically this is all part of the spiritual battle. The problem with homosexuality is it's a spiritual battle. It should be bold against God. And of course, where are the Christians propounding that? We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program. Well, Donald, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program, and then, of course, we'll be talking again this evening, and it'll be a different audience, much larger audience there, and we'll, of course, really enjoy having you there. But you got 3 minutes to wrap up this afternoon's program.
Dr. Stan, my father's business is reaching lost souls. My father in heaven desires that his house would be full. My father desires that every king, every tongue, every tribe, every people, every single nation in the world is represented in his house. My father's desire is that a church would be obedient to take the gospel message into all the world, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, sow the seed so that they have the privilege and the opportunity to come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's my father's business. And I've got brothers and sisters around the world who are willing to face death day after day after day, death from disease, death from oppression and persecution, death from just drinking the water, so that they can have the privilege of sharing the gospel with one more soul while they still have breath in their body. The devil is in the world. You've got a wonderful message I heard years ago, scarred me for life. Brotherhood of Darkness. You know, it's not this group versus that group, it's that the devil is using all of those organizations and all of those groups to do one single thing, to kill men, women, and children before they can hear the gospel. That is the battle that we're waging. And you and I have the privilege of being able to encourage brothers and sisters to really take account of our lives. Where are my resources going? What am I doing? Am I trying to build up a defense against the world so I can survive? Or am I willing to invest in the kingdom of God so that those people have an opportunity to hear the gospel that they might survive for eternity? We need to do what we can to encourage the missionaries on the field and to especially support the nationals that are working in their countries and in their cultures to be able to reach their neighbors for the sake of the kingdom of God. Those people are going to perish They're going to go to the lake of fire forever and forever and forever unless they come to faith. And if they come to faith, then they are going to have a room in the same mansion I'm going to have one in my Father's house in the kingdom of God, where we will dwell with him forever and forever and forever. Everyone has eternal life. It's either with Christ or without Christ. It's either the lake of fire or the kingdom of God. And we have to do what we can to attack the stronghold of the enemy, to attack the kingdom of darkness.
We're out of time, Donald. God bless you.
God bless you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Donald's point is very well taken. We're all going to live throughout eternity. The only question is not whether we're going to live throughout eternity. It's where are we going to live, and, of course, what's going to happen to the people who have never heard the Word of God, and do we have an obligation to try to bring it to them? And that's, of course, what he's doing, and this is why we wanted to share his ministry, his message with you this afternoon. Because there really is a spiritual battle, and Donald certainly has heard our talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness. And if you have not heard it, you really need to understand that Satan is not an abstract idea. He is very real. He is working full-time right here in our country, right here in our community. He has his agents. If you have not yet, of course, heard my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, you can get it on a DVD or VHS, and you can get the book that'll give you all the documentation. There really are people who worship Satan, Lucifer, today. And some of them are in the highest positions of our government. And some of them, if you go to the World Goodwill Organization and look up or New Group of World Service and look up who's financing them, some of the wealthiest people in the world. They say Luciferian front organizations and some of the foundations of some of the wealthiest and most powerful people in the world, ex-presidents of the United States, at least one ex-president of the United States. His foundation, we actually pulled these things down before they pulled them down at the website. They are so blatant, but they don't believe that you're really going to care enough ever to find out the truth. If you have not yet heard my talk on the secret, or the forbidden secret, that's the forbidden secret, you need to get it. And it will trace the origins of this spiritual battle back 5,000 years and show how it's being carried out in Europe today. And, of course, what is happening in Europe is simply a reflection of this age-old battle. And now it's, of course, spreading to America with the effort to destroy American sovereignty and merge us into the North American Union, as they're developing a South American Union, an African Union, an Asian Union, an Arab region, a Pacific Rim region. All part of the move, along the move towards the one world government, the new world religion, and the enthronement of a new world leader who is the Antichrist. And this is what it's all about. It's just that simple. Not happening by accident, happening by design. So please go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. If you'd like to get the items we mentioned, my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the Forbidden Secret, my talk on the planned police state, and there's either a book or a syllabus with each one of these, and many of these, of course, will actually carry material that's been published by the people on the other side. They openly brag about what they're doing. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Let me suggest our three inexpensive pamphlets, The Occult Hierarchy, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, partly my writing, part of it, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, our good friend. You need to have this information. You need to share it with others. You need to be explained what's really going on in the world. None of it, so much of what's going on, doesn't make sense. I mean, how can America have authorized torture of innocent people? Because most of the people we've tortured have been released. Imagine their screams. What could they do? They were helpless. And your tax money at work, ladies and gentlemen. And Americans who were simply doing what they were told. They didn't have the courage to say this is morally wrong. God would not approve. He doesn't approve of most of what's going on today. And one day, I sincerely believe, he's going to bring his judgment on our nation. As Thomas Jefferson said, God who gave us life gave us liberty. But can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when our reflected God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are all, of course, going to be answerable one day for what we've done. Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, and I think they'll be rewarded for the things that they have done. I think we need to support the missionaries. I think we have to understand the spiritual battle. And, of course, we have to be true to our Lord. So please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Till Monday, may the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 2077.